Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A man charged with a 1993 sexual assault and killing at the University of Alaska Fairbanks was arraigned in Anchorage yesterday. According to an Alaska Department of Law release, Stephen Downs of Auburn, Maine, pled not guilty to the rape and murder of 20-year-old Sophie Sergey. The 44-year-old Downs had contested extradition to Alaska for several months after being charged in the case in February. Downs was a UAF student living in the Bartlett Hall dorm where Sergey was found dead, but only recently linked to the killing through a genetic genealogy database. Downs will be arraigned in Fairbanks August 14th. Alaska State Troopers are seeking the public's help identifying and locating a driver involved in a hit-and-run accident in North Pole this morning. A trooper dispatch says officers responded after 2:30 a.m. to Holmes Road near Lacklowe Drive, where a man was struck by a vehicle whose driver fled without stopping. Troopers say the man was injured and taken to the hospital and ask anyone with information about the incident to contact them. The Fairbanks North Star Borough has laid out its next steps in a 5-year property tax dispute with a military housing contractor. As KUAC's Robin reports, Corvius Military Housing owes about $10 million in back taxes.
A contract to build military housing at Eielson Air Force Base went out for bid in 2009, and Corvius Air Force Living was selected by the federal government to build about 900 housing units for military families. Even before Corvius closed on the property, the company approached the borough to reduce the amount of property taxes. Negotiations worked out a payment in lieu of taxes, or PILT, agreement. Wendy Dow of the borough's legal staff explained the history to the assembly.
Corvius approached the borough before it closed on the project, and PILT negotiations went well into 2014. At that time, the borough and Corvius negotiated a PILT amount, $580,000 per year. That would have been their payment instead of paying taxes.
Although both Corvius and the borough agreed to that amount, there were other terms Corvius would not agree to, and the company pulled out of the negotiations. In 2014, the Corvius property was added to the tax rolls. The company filed a lawsuit to avoid paying property taxes, saying that because the housing was on a military base, it was on federal government land and could not be taxed by the local municipality.
The Superior Court held that their private property interests are taxable, and in 2018, Corvius paid that 2014 tax bill.
The company has also been arguing with the borough about how much the houses are worth. Since 2015, it has appealed the borough assessor's valuations to the Alaska Superior Court. Those cases are pending. In the meantime, Corvius has set aside millions of dollars in case the court rules against it.
We expect that they'll do the same thing for tax year 2019, which they just filed the appeal for.
After the briefing by attorneys, the assembly went into executive session to tell the administration what to do next. Chief of Staff Jim Williams will be contacting the company, but he could not disclose what he was instructed to say.
I would love nothing more than to share that with the public, but right now I need to get that going per their instructions, and when the dust settles on this, I'm happy to answer a lot of questions.
Currently, Corvius owns 910 houses on Eielson Air Force Base. It has exclusive use and control of that property. It has paid the 2014 tax bill and nothing else. Corvius Military Housing is the borough's largest delinquent taxpayer. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The federally chartered Denali Commission is awaiting results of an investigation into the conduct of one of its staff members. Alaska Public Media reports that Denali Commission federal co-chair Jason Hoke says, following a routine audit, the Office of Inspector General focused on the conduct of one staff member that may have been improper. Hoke says he doesn't know if the suspected impropriety was financial or not. He declined to say if any staffer has been recently fired or suspended. The late Senator Ted Stevens created the Denali Commission in 1998 to build infrastructure in rural Alaska, primarily with federal money. The commission's annual funding used to hover around $130 million, but Congress is sending far less these days. The Denali Commission's base funding for this year is $15 million. Accelerating river erosion is threatening areas of Talkeetna. As KTNA's Jenny Stars reports, business owners and local officials are talking about possible action to protect the community.
At the end of Main Street in downtown Talkeetna, the Big Susitna River rushes by after merging with the Talkeetna River, taking large swaths of riverbank along with it. threatening the existence of the Talkeetna River Trail and increasing the flood risk downtown.
A lot of Talkeetna was built on an old riverbed, so the river's trying to go back there.
Pamela Ness is a code compliance officer for the Matanuska-Susitna Borough. She has monitored the river and the floodplain in Talkeetna for nearly a decade. Since 2017, Ness has seen the river move in more than 100 feet in the area at the end of town. She says the process has sped up this summer due to large amounts of water coming down the Susitna and wiping out buffers like islands and trees that protect the riverbank. Without those buffers, strong back eddies are scouring off the silty bank and bringing it closer to the revetment at the end of town.
The Susitna is hitting the Talkeetna head on, and it's just so much force of the water that it's actually pushing the Talkeetna back against this bank, and that's what's causing the erosion.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers built the 1,000-foot dike and the 1,600-foot revetment along the shoreline in the 1970s. And then the Matanuska-Susitna Borough took over its operation and maintenance. All the underlying land is owned by the Alaska Railroad, which has traditionally given a public use permit to the borough to access and perform upkeep on the flood prevention structures. In addition to the borough, the railroad has three other active permits along that stretch of riverbank. One to Allume for green space for its commercial cabins, and then one to Talkeetna River Guides and one to Mahay's Jet Boat Adventures to access the water.
You can see it going away. You got a whole river pointed right at the end of town. I've been watching this for years. I said this 10 years ago.
Israel Mahay grew up in Talkeetna and has been a riverboat captain on the Chulitna, Talkeetna, and Susitna rivers for 22 years.
This is a very fast-moving glacial fed river. They change all the time. And the only reason it hasn't moved more is because of man. So to me, the common sense would be to put some sort of an erosion barrier down past town. The faster it gets done, the better.
After a partial closure in late June and early July, the river trail is back open, for now. Fences are up to protect the revetment from further damage and people from the undercut riverbank as they traipse along the popular Denali viewpoint. Ness is documenting the river's encroachment toward town on a near-daily basis. She's monitoring one spot especially carefully, where the ground between the nearby slough and the river has receded to only a 16-foot strip.
The river erodes into here, and it gets into the slough. All of this is going to become river in here, and it's going to be problematic.
The borough says they will invite the Army Corps to assess the state of the revetment sometime in the fall or spring, once the water goes down. They're also looking into hiring an engineer to perform any emergency repairs that are needed. Long term, the borough hopes to apply for assistance from the Army Corps under Section 205 of the Flood Control Act, but that process often takes years and also requires the borough to put forward 35% of the funds. In the interim, with so much water already in the river and the fall flood season approaching, Ness is counseling residents to be prepared for a flood event. In Talkeetna, I'm Jenny Stars.
And I'm Dan Bross.